Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are learning Mizmor Kuf Vov 106 in the Tehillim, and this is a big achievement. This is the concluding of the fourth book of Tehillim. So hang in there. We are now four-fifths of the way done in terms of books. We are really getting towards the end of Tehillim, and it's been an incredible journey. This book ran from Mizmor Tzadi to Kuf Vov. And these Tehillim, each one of them has been really an adventure, has been an opportunity. So let's take an extra stride in our step today. Let us have a little bit of extra lift, treat ourselves to something if we manage to get through this book together and enjoy this Siyum. Let's jump straight in. This is a long Mizmor. It is 48 Psukim long. Let's try to understand how it works. In general, it is a historical confession. So what this means to say is the following. The first section in the introduction is Psukim Aleph to Hey, is really an introduction about praising Hashem. In this we see the Meshorer is talking about the eternal kindness of Hashem to those who listen to him. And it's a supplication, it's a begging to see his salvation. Then he gets into Tachlis, he gets into the main point of this Mizmor, which starts in Pasuk Vov, which is Chotonu im avoseinu hevinu hirshanu. We sinned like or with our forefathers. They perverted our ways, we were evil, and it goes on to give a list of the sins. There's a list of, between Psukim Zayin to Lamed Gimel, there's a list of seven sins which were committed in the desert at the times of Bnei Israel. And then it moves on to the sins in Eretz Israel. Three sins are listed from Psukim Lamed Dalet to Lamed Tes, which were committed in the land of Israel. And finally, then the Mizmor then closes up with Psukim Mem to Mem Vav, 40 to 46, in which it's the remainder of the confessions there. And it talks about how Israel were punished and then Hashem saved them very graciously. And finally concludes with a prayer for salvation. And then the last Pasuk of the Mizmor is the one which closes all the books of Tehillim, which is a bracha, beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In terms of the overall structure of this Mizmor, there seems to be three parts. There's the praising Hashem at the beginning, the vidui, which is the central section, the confession in the middle, and then there is the praising of Hashem to keep the covenant for the future. It could be set up in such a way because it is a reflecting the way that we ask Shevach before Bakasha, we praise Hashem before we make requests of Him. But it could also be to contrast the goodness of Hashem to the lack of fulfillment, the lack of commitment on our side, which is perhaps why it is set up in this way. Clearly the vidui, the confession or the description of these sins is the mainstay of this Mizmor. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh in his Sefer on Tehillim called Rama Muskel, this is a beautiful, beautiful insight into this Mizmor. The first word in this Mizmor is Halleluka, and actually that's a breakdown of two words. Hallelu means to praise, Ka is the name of Hashem, which is the Yud and then the Hey. It's not pronounced fully, unless it's actually said in the full context of the Pasuk. Now, he points out that the Gemara Menachos on Daf Chof Tes and Obeis tells us that the world is created with two letters, the Yud and the Hey. That's why the names of Hashem is the Yud and the Hey. The Yud was the basis or foundation of the world to come, and the Hey was the basis of foundation of Olam Hazeh, of this world which we are in currently. Putting the two together, what the Al-Sheikh says is, if you think about it, the next world substantiates itself. It was an investment worth making because the people who go there are the people who deserve to be there. The interesting thing is about this world. This world is not so simple. If you think about it, does Hashem really warrant, is there a warrant for Hashem to carry on sustaining this world? Well, He puts a lot of energy into it. He sustains it on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis. And look what people do with it. Look at the destruction. Look at the cruelty. Look at the indulgence. Look at the fact that people are not willing to control themselves from complaining, hurting, debasing, slandering other people so easily, creating so much destruction, even on just the basic social level, without even taking into account wars. Says the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, that what we're doing is we're praising Hashem for the existence of two worlds, and most especially this world, the world which we seem to pervert, and yet He still gives us energy. It's imagine if you had an employee, and the employee was, you caught them on your time in the office, which you're giving them a space using your air conditioning or heating and the computer which you gave them. And on the computer, which is the office computer, they are posting slanderous posts about the company. All you would do is, besides of firing that person, you would just take away. How could you use the things I gave you? You used all this wherewithal to use it against us. How could that exist? And that's what the Al-Sheikh is saying. We praise Hashem that even though He gave us this world and continue to invest energy into it and we keep sinning, Hashem still allows it to continue. That's pretty remarkable, and that's the praise of this Mizmor. Which sins are we referring to? So the narrator does not talk about sins of his generation, rather the sins of the earlier generations. And the focus seems to be even more tilted towards the sins of the desert than even the sins in the land of Israel. The Daat Mikra, Rav Amos Chacham, points out that this could be because the narrator views the sins as a Maaseh Avos Simon Labonim, which means to say that these are the primordial sins, and they are the categories of sins which could be understood for all later history. If we were to really understand it, we could see all later history compounded into these sins. In terms of the order, there are seven sins mentioned in this Mizmor, in the desert section, and they are the rebellion at Yamsuf, Kivros Atava, where Bnei Yisrael complained about the meat, Dasan and Aviron, which is the rebellion of Korach, the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, the refusal to enter the land of the Meraglim, Baal Peor, which is when they served the Midianite gods at the end of Parashas Balak, and the Mei Meriva, upon the complaining of about the water at the end of the tenure in the desert in Parashas Chukas. You will notice that they're not in order, and it could be because they are clustered together in a different perspective or structure. And the first two, the rebellion of Yamsuf and the Kibros Atava, are really about water, about the complaints of getting through Yamsuf and complaining about water after they come out, and complaining about food. So those are about Elam together. And then it could be climactic. In other words, after that, Dasan and Aviron is the criticizing Moshe's leadership. Then the Egel Azov is the needing of an intermediary with God. Then refusal to enter the land is questioning Hashem's power. And finally, the Baal Peor is where they actually serve Avodah Zarah. So there's a climax in terms of the sins. And then finally, the last sin of Mei Meriva is where Moshe Rabbeinu is barred from entering the land of Israel, which could be leading to the next set of sins, which is ultimately the sins in the land itself. Similarly, the three sins mentioned in the land of Israel are the sins of assimilation, Avodah Zarah, and child sacrifice, all moving in a climactic description. There is a parallel between this Mizmor and the previous Mizmor. Mizmor Kuf Hey 105 was also a historical narrative, but that historical narrative was about the fulfillment of Hashem's Bris Ben Abasarim, his covenant to give the nation of Israel the land of Israel, and its fulfillment. This is a historical narrative about our not coming through on our side, so they almost are mirror opposites to one another. The way the Malbim says it is in a more positive way. He points out in his introduction to this Mizmor that really this Mizmor is picking up all the extra chesed which Hashem did, which was not accounted for in the last Mizmor. The last Mizmor was only focusing on getting to the land of Israel and inheriting it. This Mizmor is all the details between it, all the kindness in the desert that was left out in the previous Mizmor, and the kindness in the face of our defiance. And that's what the Mizmor is focusing on. So rather than thinking about it as a negative Mizmor, it is focused as a positive Mizmor about all the things Hashem does despite. In terms of the voice in this Mizmor, although it starts at the beginning by saying Chotanu, we sinned im avoseinu, it's we're taking on ourselves, the rest of the Mizmor seems to be more descriptive about them, what they did at that point in time. There's a shift in the voice. We should note that this is the end of the Sefer, and that's why the last pasuk, Memches, is Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam v'amar kol ha'am amen haleluka. This is where we are blessing Hashem for all eternity, and that's similar to the way the first, second, and third books of Tehillim were concluded, which tells us this is the end of the Mizmor itself, and not just the Mizmor, but the book. In terms of the events behind this Mizmor, it is fascinating that there are numerous phrases which reflect phrases from across Tanakh. There are catchphrases from the Torah, from the cycle of Shoftim at the beginning, from the Tfilas Shlomo at the beginning, from Elohim Aleph, the Nechamas of Yeshayahu, the rebukes of Yirmiyahu, the rebukes of Yechezkel, and even a prayer which reflects with some of the prayers to be found by the peoples of the times of Nehemiah. This could indicate that this might have been a much later Mizmor, or it could mean that these ideas were borrowed by later prophets, or were extant independently and were used by Tehillim and the other prophets as a way of communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's axiomatic ways of relating to Hashem. At the end, there is a supplication for the redemption from exile, where we beg Hashem to do a kabtzenu min agoyim. That could refer to the exile of Bais Rishon. It could even be earlier. It could be the numerous levels of exile which were exacted against the northern kingdom and the 10 tribes. So it's hard to pin exactly when this was. It is worthwhile noting that in terms of trying to find out when this, or the events behind this, that we saw that Mizmor Kufhei, the previous Mizmor, has 15 first psukim borrowed in Divrei Yamim Tes Zion, which is when in Divrei Yamim Aleph the Levim are singing upon the Aaron entering the precinct of Yerushalayim. Well, it's interesting that the first and last psukim of this mizmor are also borrowed there. Hodul Hashem ki tov ki lolam chastoi, v'imru ha'yishenu elokei yishenu v'kabtzenu v'atzilenu minagoyim l'odos l'shem kodshecho l'ishtabech b'silosecho, and baruch Hashem elokei yisrael min ha'olam v'ad olam v'imru kol olam amen v'alel l'Hashem is directly there in Direi Yomim as well, which indicates that it may also be related to the historical narrative that was said at the time when the Aron was returned to Yerushalayim, or actually brought to in the first place to Yerushalayim. In terms of the places in our tefillah that this appears, Pasuk Yud Aleph does appear in our bracha of Kriyashma, our third bracha of Kriyashma, Vayachasu Mayim Tzoreim Ve'echod Mehem Lo Nasar, describing Kriyas Yamsuf, how the water covered all of our enemies, not one survived. The last two psukim, which we just saw in Direi Yomim, do appear in Psukim de Zimra of Shachris, according to a number of the Nuschaos. But the Mizmor itself does not appear wholesale in our Seder. In terms of the words of psukim in the spotlight, one pasuk in the spotlight, which is pasuk beis, a pasuk which we say in our benching, mi imalel gevurois Hashem yashmia kol tilosoi, who is the one who's going to talk about the acts of God, the great strong acts of God, yashmia kol tilosoi, will be the one to proclaim all his praises. The Radak points out a very beautiful point, and that is if you reverse all the way to Mizmor Tess, the ninth psalm in the book of Tehillim, Pasuk Beis, there David HaMelech says, Odeh Hashem b'chol libi, I will thank Hashem with my full heart, Asapra kol nifloisecha, I will tell all of your wonders. So is David HaMelech in a position to tell all the wonders of Hashem, or is he not? Can you say, Mi yamalel gevuras Hashem? Who can tell them? Or do you say, Asapra kol nifloisecha? So Radak points out that the difference is between discrete and non-discrete events. In Mizmor Tess, he was talking about specific things he requested from Hashem, specific miracles and salvations, and he was praising Hashem for those things. However, when you look at life and in general, whether it be personally or nationally, there is simply too much to thank for that no one person can possibly recognize all the things they were saved for and all the opportunities which fell into their lap. That's our pasuk, mi yamalel gevuras Hashem. We have no idea. Our lives is far too expansive. The only parts we can possibly acknowledge are the ones where we notice which are discreet or we ask for. And the opportunity in life is trying to be able to shift and ratchet up our ability to be able to notice more so we can simply praise more. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.